Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting owls. All right, I can't do Elmer Fudd. And you know what's sad? I have a feeling there's some of you out there that are like, Elmer who? Yeah, I'm getting old. But Anthem, my God, with all that publicity going on with those two groups, with Billy Corgan trying to bring NWA back to prominence, you get bogged down with this Killer Cross situation. And I just finished reading the entire five-page legal letter that Mr. Balotola sent to them. And look, I didn't look at the actual detailed statements of what is owed and how, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I'll tell you, later on, I'll give you my opinion as to why this got to this level with Killer Cross and Anthem. And I think other people are having a similar issue. But I'm also going to bring up, I think, the biggest problem with Impact Wrestling right now. And it's no shade on any of the stars that are performing, because they really are trying to work at their peak level. They're out to entertain the fans. They're out to obviously improve their craft, have a livelihood, income. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. This is no slight on the wrestlers themselves. But wow, what a mess. And the worst thing about it is Anthem could have avoided all of this simply by just paying their employee what he was entitled to. I'll get into that a little bit later. We'll dissect it later. But first, the formalities. What's up, everyone? It is Wednesday, September 25th, 2019. And since it's not currently breakfast time, you know what that means. It's the return of Wednesday Night Dynamite. Yes, AEW has Dynamite, but this is Dynamite. No intros yet. No graphics yet. Nobody wants to surprise me with anything. You know, nobody email, oh, I made this for your show. Oh, I made this intro. I got to beg people. I got to give blowjobs to people. I got to bribe people. I got to hire outside sources. That's what I need to do. And I'm saying it lightheartedly, but next week is the official launch of AEW on TNT. Next week is, to me, the official launch of NXT on the USA Network. Yes, last week and this week, they had an hour on the USA, an hour on the WWE Network. Next week is where it starts. For all of you younger fans out there that never experienced the Monday Night Wars, if you are really excited for AEW, if you're excited for NXT, if you're excited to see them go head-to-head, because trust me, I've been doing this since 1997. I was around for the Monday Night Wars. I've been a fan since 1979. And the thing is that it's not just you're watching the product, but, you know, it was fun to channel surf, go back and forth, back and forth, back. Sure, my fingers hurt after. It was kind of hard to, you know, do a little pocket pool after you fucking hitting the last channel button 50 times for 2 hours plus. But you're going to have fun. You really are. Now, for me, it's going to be a challenge, because first, I want to thank everybody for your feedback for the last 2 weeks regarding the pilot episode I did 2 weeks ago. And yeah, this show is here to stay. And next week will be the official launch. Hopefully I got some intro music by then, hint, hint. But next week's the official launch. And it is going to be a weekly show. It is going to air live right after NXT and AEW. You know, some goofs out there that are going to do live podcasts on Wednesday, I have no problem with them. You know, I would never step on the shoes of my friends that are doing shows, but I got people who are like, oh, you know, DT, I appreciate that you never did your show the same day as us. But now, because Monday night is the end thing to do podcasts, and those motherfuckers still do live shows on Mondays. Hey, check out our Raw recap after. I don't do Raw recaps. I'll get into a couple of things that happen, but that's lazy. Just doing a simple recap show every week is lazy. And Wednesday Night Dynamite is not going to be a recap show. Yes, I will get into what went down on AEW. And the biggest challenge for me is, since my show airs immediately after AEW and NXT go off the air, number one, I have to pick which product I'm going to watch. Now, I have to decide, do I watch only AEW on Wednesday live and then cover that on the live show? Do I channel surf? When I see something on AEW that's a little bit boring, let me shoot over to NXT. this is going to be a big challenge for me to do. And unlike almost all the other podcasters out there, I don't sit for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days before I do a show. You know, it's very easy and convenient to do, especially you know, you could digest it, you could think about it, you could see what people are talking about, see what's catchy, and then you do a podcast 4 or 5 days later, and it sounds like this beautiful masterpiece. Try doing it week after week for 22 years immediately after a show ends. It's not easy to do, but I'm up for the challenge, and all of you want it, so I'm going to do it. And we're going to get into AEW, Impact Wrestling, you know, a whole bunch of other shit. But remember, this show has everything but Raw and SmackDown. That's another challenge. I mean, going back to 97, I never ever did a show that intentionally avoided WWE's main product. Even when it was WWF or Sunday Night Heat or Superstars or whatever it is. So no Raw, no SmackDown talk on these shows. Now, if I mention something, you know, incidentally, oh yeah, so be it. But we're going to have some fun. And I'm looking forward to next week. I really am. I probably will. And when I was saying about goofs with podcasts out there, if you look at a lot of podcasters, they are advertising that they're going to be live immediately after AEW goes off the air. Well, if you're an AEW show or AEW theme show, that's fine. I totally respect that. But if you cover all aspects of pro wrestling and you ignore the fact that NXT also goes off the air at that time, I don't know. To me, that's me being a little bit picky, but you know, you can't just use AEW because that name is so much hotter right now than NXT. But no, my show will be live immediately following AEW and NXT. You will be able to access the live feed on Discord and on Mixlr like we always do on Mondays. So it's going to be good. I mean, it's going to be a work in progress. This show will tweak as we go along. You know, I'm going to get into a few questions during today's show just to try to mix it up a little bit. But I think it's going to be great. Now, as I said, AEW debuts on TNT next week, and they have pretty much their lineup all set. And we don't know yet if Matt Riddle or Killian Dane are going to fight for the NXT title next week for the live show. I almost feel like it is an absolute necessity. And I don't know if Matt Riddle yet should be getting an NXT championship shot. And that has nothing to do because of my dislike with him towards the way he acts, you know, on social media and some of the things we hear privately. But I almost feel that even if he's not ready, he needs to vie for the NXT title next week. If they're going to go head-to-head with AEW, and look, I remember a long time ago Jim Ross talking about this with WWF. It is a marathon, not a sprint. And AEW right now, of course, the perception on TV is going to sound like pay-per-view quality. And yes, their first night, what they've announced so far, is arguably pay-per-view quality. But people need to really, really, you know, just keep things in perspective. Because I have been watching this for the last year and a half. And yes, there are a lot of young fans that never experienced the Monday Night Wars. There are a lot of wrestling fans out there that have not latched on to a company and feel like it's more personalized, that it's more intimate. You know, you tweet people in WWE, you never get acknowledged unless you get a blue check mark or unless you insult their gender or their race or something like that. You never get acknowledged. But one thing about AEW that I have to give them props for, I have seen wrestler after wrestler after wrestler, male and female, interacting with their fans online, and they are going out of their way. I said a year and a half ago that AEW was going to be the first millennial promotion. People had no idea what I meant at that time. I think people are starting to understand why I said what I said back then. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but people also need to keep this in perspective. You know, NXT last week on the USA Network did 1.1 million viewers for the hour that they were on. And I saw some websites talking about a major success and this and that. It was one fucking week. if that is a major success, what is considered a major success for AEW on TNT? 500,000 viewers? A million viewers? And then what happens a month from now? Right now, I treat AEW like a first date. All right. Yeah, for the last year, they've had some events and they're building their foundation. And yeah, for the last year, it's like meeting a girl online. You may have taught. Look, if you are on social media or PM in an email and someone for a year before actually dating them, you know, unless you are long distance, it's kind of whack. But imagine meeting someone a year ago. You're getting to know them. You're talking to them online. You're exchanging emails and PMs. Maybe if you're a little bit lonely, you know, if you know what I mean, you might send some sexy pics to each other. And finally, you're going to have that first date. Next Wednesday at 8 o'clock, you're going out to dinner. You can't wait. You put on your best suit. You're counting down the days. You're counting down the minutes. You're counting down the seconds. You go on the first date. And you ignore that maybe she's got a little bit of bad breath. You ignore that maybe she don't brush her teeth as much as she should. You ignore that maybe she's got a little nose hair hanging out. You ignore the fact that you're talking to her and you could have sworn you heard in the background. You ignore a lot of little things about her because you're so excited. You can't wait. You finally get to experience this person. And you end the night with maybe a kiss on the cheek. Nothing too much. And then what happens the next day? You're on the phone for 6 hours. The week after that, you may go on a second date. What happens a month from now? 2 months from now? 3 months from now? No longer do you have those 6 hour conversations. No longer do you count down the seconds to meet up with that person. You're still with that person and you don't want to break up, but the newness wears off. So, of course, AEW's rating is going to be inflated at the beginning. You have to be very, very careful with AEW right now. Because WWE, whether AEW fans or WWE haters want to admit it or not, WWE has a gigantic roster to choose from. There is nothing stopping them from taking members of their main roster and putting it on NXT. And I know there's a lot of goofs out there. Vince is going to ruin NXT. You don't know if it's going to hurt NXT or not. Will the intimate aura of NXT go away? Absolutely. Yeah, they're still doing the events in Florida. And I want to shout out Andrew 914 because that man is a big supporter of NXT since day one. And he is an even bigger supporter of yours truly since day one. And it's going to piss off the haters because week in and week out, week in and week out, week in and week out, you're going to see a Goomba sitting front row at all the NXT events on TNT. And all he wears is Don Tony shirts. I want to shout out him, my friend. And, you know, if any of those shirts start getting, you know, the sweat stains or they're starting to wear off and you need a refill, you know who to turn to. Yours truly. So, but no, you think about it. WWE has a gigantic roster to choose from. They feel that AEW is a viable threat. You know, they will start pulling out all the stops. So AEW's got to also take the advice of what Jim Ross said decades ago with the Monday Night Wars. It is a marathon, not a sprint. Now, when I look at what WWE has advertised for NXT and what they have advertised for AEW, you know, AEW's advertised for their show, to me, AEW looks like the better show. Next week, you have Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly defending the NXT titles against Street Profits. You have Shayna Baszler versus Candice LeRae for the women's title. And we don't know if Matt Riddle or Killian Dane is going to fight for the NXT title next week. And even though, you know, I've said what I've said in the past about Matt Riddle, you know, I think he must be in the NXT title picture next week on AEW. But the card for AEW next week, you have Hangman and Pac. They're going to actually wrestle next week. Remember, they were supposed to wrestle a Double or Nothing back in May, but because of what went down, they never had their match. They're going to wrestle next week. You have Cody Rhodes versus Sammy Guevara. MJF versus Brandon Cutler. Nyla Rose versus Rio for the women's title. Jon Moxley is going to make an appearance. SCU versus Jurassic Express. The Elite of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus Chris Jericho and two mystery opponents. And I know a lot of people out there. In fact, the pay-per-view recap, I think we did at that time. You know, we were actually talking about LAX coming to AEW. Who knows if LAX is going to, or Los Boricuas are going to be the mystery opponents joining Chris Jericho to go against the Elite. Don't know. But all I know is that you look at that card and that is, you know, arguably pay-per-view quality. And yeah, I have a feeling that AEW is going to beat NXT in the first week of the ratings. All right, but again, it is a marathon, not a sprint. A month from now, it could be much different. And I said this a long time ago. AEW cannot look at WWE as anything but competition. Sure, their product, their revenue, their everything about them, they are just a little tiny little dot on a gigantic poster right now. You know, they're new and they're exciting and they really want to pull out all the stops to give everybody an alternative product. All right, the same thing with TNA in 2002. Now, the reason why I don't compare TNA in 02 to AEW now is because when TNA debuted in 2002, everything you had to pay for. They didn't have free TV. And I think that was a big problem on their part. And I'll never forget when they offered that 1 cent pay-per-view, and I think the buy rate was 40,000. 1 penny! And they couldn't even get 50,000 people to sign up. That gives you an idea. And the fact that NXT drew 1.1 million viewers last week when they really didn't change much about their product. You know, if the viewership splits up, I mean, I don't know what kind of rating people are anticipating with AEW. But a month from now, things could be very different. I read a couple of days ago that AEW is looking into a second show, and I'm like, you don't even know what the rating on the first show is. Now, if it's a studio show that you could do on the internet that has really no overhead and it's just going to be recaps of certain things, that's not that big of a deal. So that's fine. But the idea that some people think that they're making a thunder, no, that's not what they're talking about. When I first read this, people are writing it like, oh, they're going to have a thunder. It's nothing like that at all. But I think next week is going to be a whole lot of fun. It's going to bring back memories for yours truly. But I also have to remember that back then, you know, I did my hotlines and everything, but, you know, the format was much different. The viewership was tiny compared to now. And, you know, we didn't have live listeners that tuned into the hotline. So I got to really be careful how I view this product on a weekly basis. Because if I start channel surfing and I miss something very important on AEW and I don't cover it on the show, I know I'm going to have a lot of people giving it to me. So speaking of AEW, Chris Jericho is in the news. He did it again, everybody. Fucking did it again. For people that don't know what I'm talking about, one thing that I have always pointed out is Chris Jericho's generosity. And I can't tell you how many times people who have needed help financially for legitimate reasons, medical, houses, and some names that you would never in a million years ever think Chris Jericho would offer assistance to. I don't want to bring anybody's name to surface right now except for one. Nasty Boy Brian Knobs. He recently, his friend had posted a GoFundMe page. He needs to get a knee replacement. I think he has medical insurance, but the deductible is astronomical and he doesn't have the kind of funds, you know, to cover this. GoFundMe account was set up. Chris Jericho made a very generous donation. And he doesn't announce it to the world. And I can't, I'm telling you, I probably would not have enough fingers to bring up all of the times that there has been some type of a fundraiser with someone in need. And you just very quietly see his name pop up on the donations. And he is very generous with the money that he gives, and props to him, seriously. Guy is fucking great. And I'm not saying that whether he was in AEW now or not, or even if he wasn't even wrestling anymore. You know, it was so unfair the way they treated this guy because of what happened with the AEW title. I always bring up Spick and Span as the poster child of that because you're analyzing, oh, look at how his nose morphed. Well, you know what, motherfucker? Look at William Shatner's nose, how it's morphed over the last 20 years. Tell me if William Shatner is a fucking big-time alcoholic and partier and stuff. And he could be. But, you know, to turn around and try to dissect that Jericho's got a problem, you don't fucking know nothing. You're the one with the problem. My God. Anyway, I want to congratulate Bandido. This is a guy that I think a year from now, a lot more people are going to know. And Bandido's been around for a little while. But he won the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Battle of Los Angeles for 2019 triple threat elimination match, defeating David Starr and Jonathan Gresham. I am a big fan of Bandido. That guy's name should be, in my opinion, a hell of a lot bigger in the wrestling world. And, you know, I know for some of you out there, you'd be like, what are you talking about? His name is already. Yeah, you know what? If you, and let's be honest, everyone, if you took a picture of Bandido and showed it, when, especially a WWE show, went outside and picked up that picture and went up to 100 fans and say, who's this? I'm telling you, at least 98 of them would have no idea who Bandido is. That is a name I hope 1 year from now we talk a lot more about. And not just me, other podcasts out there as well. You know, I really, that's another thing I want to do on these shows is acknowledge some names out there that don't get the recognition that they deserve. No, I'm not going to do profiles and stuff like that. You know, that we all have the internet. You're listening to me, obviously you have the internet. So I'm not going to do a profile of a wrestler and read it off a wiki page or something like that because you could do that. You know, that but I want to bring attention to some people who I think should be a bigger name in the world of pro wrestling. Bandido is definitely one of them. Now, getting back to AEW next week, I know some people out there already had, you know, if you looked at their underoos, you saw probably a moist spot in the groin area because Cody Rhodes told a fan on Twitter that AEW Dynamite is going to be TV 14. And I have no problem with people thinking that TV 14 is going to be a better product because they think that the envelope is going to be pushed even further. I have no problem, people. When I see websites adding exclamation points after the TV 14, like, and you could just picture them as they're typing it. I mean, just like, I'm making TV 14. I'm making it. The fuck did that means all of a sudden that the product's going to be better? Yeah, you may push the envelope a little bit more, but I've seen a lot of TV 14 programming out there that sucked. You don't have to be TV 14 to be good. I grew up a wrestling fan in the 80s. Trust me, there was a lot of great moments in pro wrestling back then that were awesome that were not TV 14. So am I excited that they're going to be TV 14? No. I don't care if it's TV 14 or TV PG. All right. And look, some fans, you know, immediately see TV 14, they interpret it. I mean, it reminds me when I was a kid and I was watching WHT. Anybody that's older will, you know, my neck of the woods will get a kick out of that name. I used to watch Wameco Home Theater and I was a kid. And if I accidentally got to see a tit on TV, oh my God. That's what these people sound like. It's going to be TV 14. So what? I want a good product. I remember when the Viking Raiders, they first debuted the names and everybody was having their balls in a bunch. Viking Raiders, that name sucks. What did I say that night? I'd rather them have a corny name, but click on TV and entertain the hell out of me than to have a cool, catchy name and do nothing. Or WWE do nothing with them. And up until recently, it felt like they had a goofy name and WWE didn't do anything with them. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But AEW being TV 14, I don't fucking care about that. One thing I hope AEW changes and changes quickly. Two things. It's just opinions. And I'm saying this, yes, on Breakfast Soup, I joked a little bit more about part of this, but I'm going to be totally serious for a minute. Number one, stop with the political statements. Stop with it. And especially with the TV 14. You had Cody go to Mexico. Puto! Puto! And dad to make an apology. Chair shot. Apology. Dog. Apology. TV 14. Could you imagine all the apologies going because they pushed something a little bit too far from PG? Apology. Stop with the apologies. You did it. Own up to it. Don't apologize. There'll always be somebody complaining. Rey Mysterio, over the weekend. Now, I just talked about the Viking Raiders. And yes, like I said, this show is not going to be about Raw and SmackDown, but it ties into what I'm saying now. Over the weekend, Rey Mysterio Jr. was seen at the football game between the Oakland Raiders and the Minnesota Vikings. Now, I fucking laughed my ass off, not because he was there, but the first thing I thought about was, even though nobody may have known who they were in the audience, how do you not have the Viking Raiders at the Viking Raiders football game? Come on! Even if they're not football fans. I like football. So what? The Vikings versus the Raiders, and you don't have the Viking Raiders there. But Rey Mysterio's there, and they flash the camera on him, and one of the commentators says, oh, he looks like a guy from Nacho Libre. Well, you know what? To all the people who got butt hurt over that comment thinking that it was racist, number one, not every fucking person out there is a wrestling fan. There are tens of millions of people who do not know who Rey Mysterio Jr. is. I know we would be like, are you kidding me? One of the greatest little guys in wrestling of all time. Greatest wrestlers, period. No, not everybody knows who that is. And the NFL announcer, all he knows about pro wrestling is from seeing a Nacho Libre movie. It was not racist in any way, shape, or form. But right away, the internet, because people get butthurt over every little thing. People are like, how dare you bring up Nacho Libre? That's racist. And I give that motherfucker credit. He went on social media and said, what's racist about it? He looked like a guy from Nacho Libre. The guy's not a wrestling fan. So I don't know if he pussied out and apologized after, you know, but the thing is, you know, right away, people, that's racist. And not thinking that maybe the NFL announcer just isn't a fan of wrestling and only knows mass wrestlers from Nacho Libre. Sorry, not every human being in the world, a requirement is that they need to know that what a pro wrestler is. And no. So, yeah, this guy who did not say it in any racist way but got accused of it. You have AEW apologizing multiple times already. And you're going to be TV 14? You're going to push the envelope? I'm telling you, that's one thing they need to do. Stop with the apologizing. And stop trying to do things to make public statements. You want to give everybody equal pay? You want to give everybody a bit? Just do it. Just do it. We don't need to read articles and articles. Oh, I'd love to do this and I want to do it. Just do it. You don't need name recognition to doing the right thing. Another thing is Nyla Rose. Now, look, anybody heard the AEW pay-per-view recap? I'm fine with Nyla Rose. Talented. Yeah, a lot of controversy because Nyla Rose is a male who is now female, and a lot of people feel that's an unfair advantage. Okay, look, I think Nyla Rose herself would respect people who feel that way. All right, yeah, you have to respect people who have a difference of opinion, but what I have a problem with is if you put the belt on Nyla Rose simply because Nyla Rose is transgender. And I think some of our listeners out there who are transgender, and yes, we do have some listeners, they're not freaks of nature that they can't be wrestling fans or fans of my work. You know, you don't need to have people go far or put titles on them simply because you want to make a statement. I mean, I look at what's going down next week, and I personally think Nyla Rose is going to win the title because of who her opponent is. If she loses, is there going to be much buzz about it? No. But could you see the press releases already? Could you say, I guarantee you, if Nyla Rose wins that title, even though they'll never admit it, you'll have Brandi, Cody, and everybody else just constantly reloading Nyla Rose's name on social media to see how many LGBTQ organizations, people, and groups are praising the fact that AEW put the belt on a transgender. Do I want to look in the mirror and say to myself, I have this title around my waist because I'm transgender, or I have this title around my waist because I am the best at what I do? And that's the thing that I don't want to feel with AEW. Do I think Nyla Rose is talented enough to get the women's title in AEW? Absolutely. Absolutely. I praised Nyla Rose on the pay-per-view recap. But I don't want to see certain business decisions because of, you know, trying to, you know, create a movement or get a buzz. And yes, it's an entertainment business. I know a lot of people out there, oh, well, WWE is entertainment, but that's not. That's, we're wrestling. I remember when Ring of Honor, was it Koff, whoever the goof is? Maybe it wasn't him, but somebody did. I'll blame it on Joe Koff. I remember somebody saying, like, WWE is entertainment, but we're sport and we focus on the wrestling. Motherfucker, if your outcomes are predetermined, you are an entertainment company. You may be a different form of entertainment, but you are an entertainment company. AEW, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, MLW, Impact Wrestling, you're all entertainment companies. So AEW, at the end of the day, is an entertainment company. And yes, you obviously want to generate as much publicity as possible. But if you start filling roles, you know, and trying to make all these political statements, you know, by making certain, I'm telling you, it's going to rub people the wrong way. So I thought the stupidest thing was what they did with that referee. What the hell was her name? Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank right now. Aubrey Edwards, I think her name is, the referee in the main event from the last pay-per-view. I have no problem with her. She's a talented referee. But when she is putting the focus on her and trying to be a character and, you know, going in the face of the wrestlers, you know, because she wants to make a statement as a woman and a referee, I'm sorry, that turns me as a wrestling fan off. I'm not jealous that she's a female. I never wanted to be a referee and I never wanted to be female. No offense to the women out there. So it's not a jealousy factor. But referees should be incidental as far as the match goes, especially in a form of entertainment. And then not only that, towards the end of the match, and I know anybody heard the recap, you're hearing this again, but I have to say it again now. Towards the end of the match, when I think it was Hangman Page kicked out of a move and Jericho was all frustrated. I can't believe that Page kicked out of the move. Jericho is the one that should have the angst on his face. Oh my, are you fucking kidding me? How did this guy care? Instead, this referee's got this look of shock on her face that Paige care. You're a goddamn referee. Stop with the fucking animation. And trust me when I tell you, I'm going to give her slack because I don't think that she did that on her own. I think AEW told her to do that because we talked about it with history. Referees that try to make themselves, you know, the part of the show, a lot of feds would pull them in a second. Woman or no woman, you're not part of the show. You're an official. All right, they wanted her to be part of the show. Why? If she was a man on that match, you think she would have done the what she did in that match? No, I don't think so at all. Just how I feel. So I think one of the things they have to be very, very important about is to avoid trying to make too many political statements. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with giving people opportunity who fit that role. Nyla Rose deserves the opportunity. Nyla Rose is talented. Having a fucking 40-pound man trying to push around Kazarian and Daniels should have been eaten up in 10 seconds. Having a fucking wrestler with one leg or one fucking hand or one ear, not one ear, but you know what I mean? I'm supposed to believe, oh, but he could hop a rope. Oh, but he could do a moonsault. Good. Let him wrestle with Joey Ryan and some other promotion that's nothing but comedy. Is he an inspiration? Absolutely. But that's why I never liked Zach Allen. Nothing against him personally. I always thought Zach Allen was such a huge insurance risk. But even if you take the insurance risk aside, suspension of disbelief. What did I used to say on my hotline back then? You fight Zach Allen in a match, hook the leg. That's it. He's done. He's dead. Hook the leg. How could he kick out? He's got no leg, other leg to kick out. That's it. He's done. But, you know, they did it anyway. And, you know, it is what it is. Cody issued a statement online reflecting on, you know, the road to where they are now with AEW about to debut on TNT. I want to read the statement, but I also want to defend Cody for a minute, because when he posted this statement, he posted a photo of him. It was like it was somebody drew it. It was a drawing of Cody. And he's standing like behind fans that are looking at him, and he's got his arms open. I can't tell you how many morons I read online that said that Cody was trying to pose like Jesus Christ. No, Cody had his arms out because he was embracing all the energy and all the excitement from the fans. Just because the pose looks like Jesus Christ doesn't mean he was trying to act like he's Jesus Christ of pro wrestling. These are people that are just way overanalyzing stuff. What is he supposed to do? Stand there with his hand between his legs? He's supposed to have his hand over his head. Should he have waved like Eugene? Come on. Overanalyzing. And this is not just fans doing this. These are websites, podcasters, and bloggers doing this. But anyway, Cody wrote this, and I quote, "We're 8 days out from the most significant night in wrestling in my lifetime. I just wanted to share these thoughts with our incredible fans whose unbridled passion and support have led us to this moment. This raging fire within wrestling today ignited long before I hit the indie scene. There was this hot ticket and style of pro wrestling guerrilla, Colt Cabana building a brand for himself without reliance of a large corporate backer, the narrative pipe bomb promo that spoke heavy truths into our business, the Young Bucks creating a vlog and to connect deeper with fans, and much more. After an 11-year stint at WWE, there was that fateful bet that I could not promote a show, which ultimately drew 10,000 fans plus at All In a year ago. My stubborn ability to believe that I could expand my work rate even further and forge powerful connections across the barricade were also the driving forces in my life. And of course, there was Tony Khan, the lifelong wrestling fan who wanted to invest his business acumen, passion, and sphere of influence with four guys aspiring to create an alternative product. All these cumulative factors would still not have gotten us to today without the largest and loudest factor of all, pro wrestling fans. This includes the growing number and often shadow market of fans who, for some reason or another, felt disillusioned by the current product and went searching for an alternative that truly spoke to them. My gratitude is extended in anticipation for AEW Dynamite, but even if Wednesday, October 2nd was the first and only AEW show, what has happened now in wrestling cannot be undone. Wrestlers now have a chance for better pay and a healthier schedule, and the doors have been opened to a wider show, more congruent with the diversity of our current society. This isn't because of AEW, it's because of you, the fans, from diehard to brand new, and the changes in wrestling aren't exclusive to AEW. This progress can now permeate all promotions. I would ask you this one favor as we move forward. Speak to me. John Cena once told me that when fans clap their hands or stomp their feet or give a visceral indicator that they want something, you need to do something. Otherwise, they will stop making noise. Please share your feedback with me. I want all of it. Good, bad, ugly, what we did right, what we did wrong, and why. Let me help create and tailor a product for you. In 2015, when I unexpectedly lost my father, I was broken. I saw comfort in my friends and family, but what I think helped me most were the bright lights and ferocious passion of our fans. Perhaps to an outsider, this may sound melodramatic, but it truly fixed me in ways that are impossible to describe. The accusation that pro wrestling is artificial has never fazed me, because I know the feeling of a family enjoying a show, the raucous laughter of fans, I think he meant ruckus, the collective grasp when we test the limits of our bodies, and the overall escape we provide as an industry. There's nothing artificial about that. It's a damn important service. I've had the best education one could ever receive for this job, a pro since age 15. 11 years under the learning tree of such minds as Randy Orton, Vince McMahon, Arn Anderson, Dean Malenko, and countless other legends. And of course, 3 decades I spent talking wrestling every day with the American Dream himself. I know what's on the other side of the hill. A billion-dollar publicly traded behemoth with 70 years of experience and an expansive network of divisions and subsidiaries, which has ultimately become a monopoly in wrestling. Yeah, I'm a bit nervous. I'm a little scared. But I'm saddling up in DC anyway with the best partners and wrestlers on the planet. I'm with AEW because AEW is for everybody, and I hope everybody tunes in and gives us a chance to shine for you. Thank you. I thought that was a wonderful statement. I had no problem with that whatsoever. I talked about it on Breakfast Soup that I think Tony Khan needs to expand, you know, the behind-the-scenes network of people involved. I think this perception of Brandi Rhodes and Cody Rhodes running the whole gamut of the promotion is exaggerated, but they also, you know, Tony Khan needs to be a bigger presence as far as the aura of AEW, because if things start to fail, I mean, who's going to be the one responsible? Who's going to be one taking a financial loss? Tony Khan needs to really be prepared. But again, baby steps, baby steps, baby steps, because again, I don't know what TNT is expecting with the ratings. I do know that it's 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. and it is on a Wednesday. So I don't want anybody saying to me, well, it is prime time, but it's Wednesday. That's a moronic thing to say. It is prime time. It definitely needs a good rating. AEW is not going to get 100,000 viewers, obviously. But I also need to see a big expanded roster. If I invite people to give me a list of a roster that is pretty much exclusive to AEW. That was one of the problems that TNA started having early on. You know, when you want to feel attached to a promotion, you also want to feel attached to wrestlers who identify themselves as AEW. And when you have particular wrestlers that also pop up, that's why I used to talk about a long time ago. I'm talking 15 plus years ago. When you would have certain TNA wrestlers, I mean, you go from Raven, AJ Styles down the line, and when you could see them also wrestling in Ring of Honor, this indie group, that indie group, this and that, it took away the exclusivity. That's so important in pro wrestling. If you feel that someone can wrestle on 9 different promotions, all right, it doesn't feel that that person is an AEW guy. Yeah, he might be an AEW guy because he or she is not wrestling for WWE, but they need to have a lot of wrestlers exclusive to AEW. You will have some veterans that will be exclusive simply because they don't want the grind and full-time schedule that they used to have. But again, baby steps. Take it slow. Take it slow. WWE is going to pull out all the stops. And Jim Ross and Chris Jericho really set the tone. And I know a few other wrestlers that are around AEW said the complete opposite. But Jim Ross and Chris Jericho know better than anybody else out there that even though AEW is just a little dot on the wall right now, WWE is not going to give them the chance to become a giant company. And, you know, even if AEW stops name dropping WWE, even if they stop throwing little innuendos and insults and this and that, that isn't going to let up the gas pedal of WWE trying to nip them in the bud. The only way AEW is going to survive is to worry about their own product. Forget WWE exists. Don't fucking have them on your brain and mentioned in, you know, every 5 promos that are cut on TV. Act like they don't exist. Show fans why they should tune into you, not because the other person is bad, but because you are good. That's just the way I look at it. D-Boy Gentleman asked me, what do I think is an acceptable viewership for AEW on a weekly show? Again, I can't you can't use the viewership for the first couple of weeks because there's that huge newness factor. There's that curiosity factor. I always felt that a live product was more entertaining to me than a pre-recorded product. That's why it being a live show, I thought, was one of the most critical, important aspects of AEW. I can't tell you how many times in the past, once TNA started doing tapings, I would read results, I would read spoilers. I'm sorry, even when people would write non-spoiler, I'm curious, I would read the spoilers. If nothing really piqued my interest, I skipped the week. Just the way I always was. Or I would not rush to see that particular. If I don't know what to expect later on in the night because the product is live, you don't know if somebody's going to make a surprise appearance. You don't know if somebody's going to turn. You don't know if there's going to be a title change. You don't know if there's going to be a fucking unbelievable match. And it could be the opposite too. You don't know if a product's going to suck. That's why for 22 years, whenever you see a rating on a particular show when somebody made a surprise return. Oh my God, this person returned, unbelievable. And the rating came out and they'd be like, wow, the fucking rating went down despite blah, 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 making a return. Well, motherfuckers, people did not know in advance that person was returning, so they weren't tuning in. Not everybody is living on social media or, you know, get a phone call. Put on USA. Put on USA. Look who's back. Look who's back. Look. No, it's the following week that usually tells the story. And when the following week the numbers don't bounce, I mean, my God, WWE has pulled out so many stops lately to try to generate buzzes and ratings, and it hasn't done anything. So this is going to force WWE to amp it up. And I don't know if they amp up Raw. I mean, SmackDown is going to Fox. But I also remember when SmackDown moved to UPN and Raw went back to USA from Spike TV and this and that. After a couple of weeks, you didn't even care what network it was on. It just felt like the same thing. Now, sure, WWE has a lot more pressure now because of the Fox deal. But other than shifting the roster around, you think for the last bunch of years, you think for the last decade plus that WWE knew, you know, that they could have put on a much better product to give us a much better storylines, but said, you know what, we got no real competition right now. Let's be lazy. And meanwhile, people wrestled and retired. People that were full-time and now part-time. You don't fucking go a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years and fucking intentionally give people a lackluster product simply because you think all of a sudden people are going to have brainstorms who scored a 70 on their fucking test for the last 9 years and now all of a sudden going to score a 95. There's probably going to need to have some behind the scenes changes in WWE as well. We'll see what happens. Roger Rubio, what's one thing that I have appreciated the most from the rise of AEW? Well, look, rise of AEW, yeah, they come into TV, but, you know, we need to see what happens 3 months, 6 months from now, because this is a grind that you cannot stop. If AEW is not having the success that they thought they were going to have, that people overinflated, and they start doing a TV taping and recording 2 weeks for 1 week, that's going to be problems. What I have appreciated the most so far is the dedication of all of the wrestlers who are involved with AEW that are really working hard to make this work, that are really, really, I mean, you don't see how the sausage is made. You might get a retweet or a like on Twitter and you fucking blow your load over that. Oh my God, that person responded to me. They're not sitting on a computer all day and just interacting with people. There's so much work behind the scene. You have no idea. I don't even know 3/4 of it. But the work ethic of everybody involved, the drive, they want to make AEW work. They don't want to make WWE out of business because they're not going to do that. They want to make AEW successful. There is a lot of pride involved as well. There's a lot of money involved too. But the work ethic, the interaction between the wrestlers and the fans has been outstanding. And, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. Jeffrey Collins, do I feel Ring of Honor will be lost in the shuffle as far as the buzz? Absolutely. Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling right now, I think it's a, I hate to say this, I think it's a battle of who shuts down first. Because, like I said when I opened up the show, I've been talking about this for a while now, so I don't need to reiterate every little aspect of it. But Anthem, towards this Killer Cross situation, they have, I think the reason why this situation with Killer Cross got so out of control, and trust me, like I said earlier, I read the entire legal letter that the lawyer sent to Anthem. All right, I didn't get into every specific statement in this and that, but when I read what I read, this just looks like, I don't even know if you could call it laziness, but I think Anthem has so many other projects that are involved with their corporation, now inking the Access TV deal, that they have neglected a lot of the behind-the-scenes work. I mean, I've done insurance for over 20 years. There's been times where, you know, I would neglect little things about my business that I always need to be on top of. I remember even before I had my own business, I worked with a guy in Ozone Park, Queens. And the guy was about 65 years old. I don't remember his name right now. This is back in the late 90s. And I remember, you know, going to his office and, you know, just sitting and doing a little bit of work. And, you know, he paid me decent. But I remember once in a while, somebody would come in and, yeah, I'd like to get a quote for car insurance. Ah, we don't write car insurance. We only write house and health insurance. And the person would leave. And I would say to him, I'd say, like, why didn't you write that person? I don't feel like writing it. I don't feel like. And he would neglect little things. There would be a renewal for a customer. And I remember he would not like work on the paperwork or give me the paperwork until the day before the policy renews. You would just let things slack because he was busy doing this or thinking about this. And when I read this letter, these details, and I see the revenue that has not been paid to Killer Cross, this is more like clerical stuff. This is not a dispute as far as how much he's due and this and that. It is cut and dry. It's not rocket science. He is due X amount of dollars for this period in time, and it's done quarterly, every 3 months. I didn't get paid this quarter. I didn't get paid this quarter. I didn't get paid this quarter. I didn't get paid these royalties or this and that. It's not rocket science. And again, the fact that AEW is about to debut, the fact that Billy Corgan has dedicated so much of his time, you know, to try to revive NWA, the fact that NXT is going to blow up on the USA Network, Impact Wrestling, please, I swear on a stack of Bibles, this is not to slight any of the wrestlers out there. I was a lifelong ECW fan since 1993. But the aura, and this is something Anthem will never get from the blue checkmark journalists out there, from the websites that play footsie with them. They will not get straight up honesty like this. And I'm not trying to put myself over, but I think a lot of you out there will agree with me when I say this. They don't have anybody who plays devil's advocate and tell them point blank, this is the perception of your company right now. I don't care that Tessa Blanchard is beating up men. I don't care if she's beating up women. All right, you're not becoming must-see TV because you're having intergender matches. Right now, Impact Wrestling, to me, has no identity. You had tons of people leaving. You had from the Hardys and all everybody. You had all these people leaving. And with all those wrestlers leaving, you lost your identity. And God bless Ken Shamrock, who could still go. God bless some of the ECW guys that are working for Impact Wrestling. But you know what the impression of Impact Wrestling comes off to me right now? It almost looks like somebody or a group of people in Anthem are sitting around a table and they're looking online to see what wrestlers, female or male, that are still alive, that are not crippled or over the age of 60, that still look like they could still go, Who is out there that's available that we could throw on our TV? Oh, we're going to be in Mexico. Let's throw these two, three Mexican wrestlers out there. Oh, there's a couple of ECW people out there. Let's get involved with House of Hardcore. Ken Shamrock. My God, they just moved to Access TV. I read the press release. And you remember all the Impact Wrestling, the TNA press releases, and they would talk about the phenomenal AJ Styles, Hulk Hogan, this, this, and that, the incredible knockouts. I read the press release. The second person that they put over in that press release is 55-year-old Ken Shamrock. Ken Shamrock, I have praised that he could still do it. He looks great. But when that is the number two of your press release, you're done. You have no identity whatsoever. You look at, the problem with Anthem is that they have so many other business ventures that if Impact Wrestling, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. They still can operate and do everything else they do. The problem is that they have so many commitments that they must fill internationally too. And they need to fulfill those commitments. And when you see some of the people on the roster, I'm not saying I don't like Rhino still or Tommy Dreamer Kansas. I'm not saying I have any problem with them. But when you look at the overall product, what's their identity? What is so different about Impact Wrestling that AEW is not going to offer, that NXT is not going to offer, that Billy Corgan is trying to revive with NWA? Impact Wrestling and Ring of Honor right now, I think, are almost on life support. And the stupidest, last thing that AWE, Anthem Wrestling Exhibitions, did was to allow this situation with Killer Cross to snowball. Because he, I can almost guarantee, is not the only person that this is happening to right now. It's just that Killer Cross is on fire. And I'm not gushing, and I'm not saying it because, you know, he's a friend of the shows, and he loves what, you know, we used to do before he even became fan. I don't gush like that. The guy is fucking talented. He's only been wrestling, I think, for about 5 years, and I think that still blows people away. It's only been 5 years. And yeah, he's got a pretty impressive girlfriend. But the thing is that that guy is in demand. That guy is one of the most socially friendly people out there. And the guy's a psychopath. You know, and I say that in a complimentary way. There are other people that work for Anthem that don't have the leverage that Killer Cross has. And they are forced to keep their mouth shut and hope that if the situation resolves with Killer Cross, it'll resolve with me. And I just, for the life of me, cannot understand. We're not talking crazy amounts of money here, people. Anthem has bucks. They may not have as much bucks as you may think they have. But the idea of what websites are trying to perceive that, oh, well, if Anthem lets Killer Cross out of the contract, that this could set a precedent and this. Are you kidding me? After all of the people that you allowed to leave, you think you're going to make it? People want to watch a product because it's entertaining, but they also want to watch a product that they want to support. Why would any wrestling fan in their right mind want to put money in Anthem's pocket? I put money in Anthem's pocket. I actually subscribe to their digital on-demand service. And I'm not going to cancel it because they're screwing Killer Cross over or something like that. I'll cancel it because I don't watch the old footage anymore. But the thing is that why would fans, you know, there's a lot of wrestling fans out there that have to decide every month what Patreon person they're going to support. They're going to support us, they're going to support Soup, they're going to support this person, this podcast, or this show. It's not an untapped market out there. And, you know, there is a certain amount of money that people are willing to spend, but it's not as big of a number as you would think. So now you have AEW, you have WWE, and that money is not cheap. AEW's buy rates, you know, their pay-per-views, it's not fucking cheap, and you can't just get an illegal stream like we used to get 10, 15 years ago. Sure, if you look hard enough, you'll find something, but You know, people are spending 40, 50, 60 bucks a month already between the WWE Network, maybe an AEW pay-per-view, buying a shirt, buying the fucking Bray Wyatt stuff, subscribing to one or two patrons, you know, maybe subscribing to a newsletter. You think they're going to blow another 30, 40 bucks on Anthem with Impact Wrestling? Impact Wrestling has no identity right now. I'm sorry, intergender match is not enough for me to all of a sudden change the channel and make sure Impact Wrestling is must-see TV for me. Because honestly, right now, what I read on the internet is more people saying to Tessa Blanchard, oh my God, wish you would be in WWE right now. Oh my God, you'd be awesome in AEW. Oh my God, I'd love to see you here. Not, you know, oh, can't wait to watch Impact, right? You get a core couple of people that'll do that. But people are waiting to see people leave Impact to go to a different promotion. How is that successful? So I think right now, Anthem and Ring of Honor, I think are battling of who's going to be the first to close shop. When Anthem first bought TNA, Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to call it, I said the day that the rumor came out that I think they were buying it for the library. And if they could turn the promotion around and make some bucks out of it, great. But if it doesn't work out, they'll sell the library, ultimately the WWE, make a little profit off of it, and be done with it. You think Anthem is making crazy profit right now? From where? Tell me from where. It is a Canadian promotion right now for the most part. And their shows sell out. Their pay-per-views are not bad. Their shows, Impact Wrestling, is not bad at all. Their product now is better than what it was 2 years ago. The problem is they lost their identity in the process. It feels like, again, they're looking in the yellow pages, hey, this wrestler still go? Let's see if he wants to work here. There's no identity. The X division, come on. You feel that there's nothing. And it blows my mind that they would allow this situation to get as big as it did with Killer Cross. I predict that very, very shortly, I don't want to say a month, but I think very, very shortly, this situation with Killer Cross and Anthem will clear up. They will amicably settle everything. They will part ways and they will be done with it. The idea that they're hyping up their move to Access and, you know, the Bound for Glory, whatever it is, and they think that this guy is going to come out as a surprise, stuff like that, it's going to turn the promotion around. They are causing so much damage to their product right now. And what's also happening is fans are leapfrogging, skipping over them. They're skipping over them. It's like walking into a mall and you have three, you know, men's clothing shops, one after the other. And one shop that used to be great with all this different variety, that they stopped putting a certain product out there simply because, you know, they didn't pay the vendor and the vendor pulled their product and all they got to do is just bring their invoices up to date and now their product's back in there. And they think that, oh, you know, because we have all these other things, so we're bringing back 55-year-old Puma that people are going, oh my God, I can't wait to see this. There's a reason why Ken Shamrock has not drawn fucking more than 500 people in the last 15 years. Nothing personal against him. They have no identity right now other than a promotion that is creating so much negative publicity. And you're doing it right on the heels of AEW debuting and NXT taking it to the next level. Why are you in business? Why? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Now, I brought up NWA. They just added Marty Bell and Ashley Vox to next week's studio TV tapings. If you live in the Atlanta area, go check out their information. NationalWrestlingAlliance.com/AtlantaTV. You know, they're going to start, you know, getting ready to try to launch on TV as well. Now, when you look at TV, Thursday night is the only night right now that it seems that there's no wrestling because we got Raw on Mondays. We're going to have Impact Wrestling on Tuesdays, AEW and NXT on Wednesdays. Then on Fridays, you have SmackDown. You also have New Japan. You have WOW on Access TV as well. And there's other feds out there that might be regional where you live. And I didn't even bring up our international listeners out there. There is so much out there. But you know, will I say it's a wrestling boom yet? It's not the boom that Jeff Jarrett thought there was going to be fucking 6-7 years ago. But I want to see how many wrestling fans return to watching wrestling. I want to see, and you remember I brought this up with Becky Lynch last year. They were making such a big deal. And this is not throwing shade on Becky Lynch, but I'm making a business point for a minute. I remember last year, Becky Lynch was the first to sell out autograph signings. The first to sell out. She had every right to brag about it. Becky Lynch fans had every right to gloat about it. What was the problem with that? Here's the problem with that. WWE, let's say, was averaging 2,000 fans that would go to an autograph sign that featured different wrestlers at different tables. They averaged 2,000 fans. Now, let's say up until a year ago, Becky Lynch would draw maybe 200 of those fans, 300 of those fans out of the 2,000. Now, Becky Lynch is drawing 1,500 fans. The problem is that what's the total overall fans going to the autograph signing? Still 2,000. So I need to see 2,000 become 3,000 and 3,000 become 4,000. When the Monday Night War started in 1995, you look at the total number of viewers. Don't just look at the ratings, look at the total number of viewers. And then look at what happened 3-4 years later. Look at the total number of viewers. You could clearly see that you did not have 2 million viewers split between two promotions. 2 million viewers turn into 12 million viewers. That is a boom. And if you have five promotions with TV and you add it up and there's only a 10% increase in total viewership, because it might, this is the thing. Just because you add up all the viewers for the week and you say to me, Don Tony, there's 25% more people watching wrestling now. Oh, really? So when I watch Raw and I watch AEW and I watch SmackDown, I'm considered three different people? The fuck you talking about? You have to take the total viewership, add it up, and divide it amongst the shows. Because you can't turn around. That's why I fucking hated it when TNA started really dipping in the numbers. They were trying to add, you know, the replay viewers to this one. And I remember Dixie Carter's infamous request to fans out there to, you know, DVR. Because DVR by this date, because it gets caught. What are you talking about? She didn't have a clue what she was talking about. You can't turn around and just because I watch five different shows, I should be registered as five different people. So just because the overall numbers may seem larger doesn't mean that there's more people watching wrestling. It just means the same person is watching multiple shows a week. And then sooner or later, that person may decide, you know what? You know, I'm not going to really watch this. But there's so much wrestling out there. There is a such thing as oversaturation. And you don't ever want to see that happen. You do not want oversaturation. Because if there's too much wrestling on TV, look, if you know, eat something that you never get a chance to eat. Oh my God, I had this last night. It was unbelievable. And now you could have it every single day. You're going to get sick of it. You just, no. We have to really be cautious about this. And I think the best advice for AEW, you have overzealous fans out there. You have fans that are taking this, you know, a little bit more of a cautious, you know, approach. I am very excited for AEW. I wish them well. I fucking love the fact that I get to, you know, have a second war, or third, technically, if you want to compare TNA to Raw, you know, for that short period of time. What was it, January 4th? I remember that. Oh, man. You know, we're approaching 10-10-10. Remember that? 10-10-10. Anyway, I think we're done. We got into a lot. MLW is going to be coming to Philly, former ECW arena. They're going to have an event February 1st, 2020. So we got plenty of time to talk about that. One thing I do want to mention, everybody out there, Netflix has renewed GLOW for a fourth and final season. And we would expect that season to actually start coming out next year. But GLOW's turned out to be a good product. I mean, look, I grew up watching GLOW. Trust me, there's a lot of yellow jit gel rags that are in the dumpsters if they haven't been fucking destroyed by now. Over those years, I mean, a lot of us growing up, Hollywood and Vine, and My God. But this series really, yeah, they exaggerated and changed a lot of history, and they invented other things because of today's society. But I'm telling you, great fucking series. Not many reality or, you know, series I watch on like Netflix or Hulu and stuff. Me, when it comes to nighttime, I don't have that many hours in a day to socialize. So usually it's, you know, Ambien, Forensic Files. But I've been watching a lot of The Glow for the last 2+ years. And it was very surprising how much I was going to enjoy it. I will admit, when it first came out, I wasn't that sold on it, but I'm enjoying it now. So anyway, please send your feedback. Follow me on Twitter at DonTonyD, the website DonTony.com. Email me, DonTony at DonTony.com, Facebook.com/DTKC Show, Patreon.com/DonTony. And this Friday on Patreon, I will be doing blah, blah, blah. And I thank you for the support. So remember, mark it on your calendar. Next Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern, same channel, same Discord, Mixler. Join me live after AEW's debut show. And look, out of respect to NXT, you know, this is not throwing slight on them or shade on them, but AEW is going to have their first ever show. So I think all the focus for the most part is going to be on AEW. And I am going to watch AEW from start to finish. I will recap, because of the first ever episode, as much as I can. I will still get into news and some other stuff, and we will chat during the show as well, and we'll see where it goes. And hopefully I'll have some logos, graphics, and intros by then. So everyone be well, enjoy the rest of the week, and I will talk to you again a week from today. Take care, everybody. Ciao.